following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Good evening, y'all. Glad that you are with us here tonight at Refuge. I'm going to teach now, and so we'll move into that. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 13 is where we're going to start. And as you're turning to Romans chapter 1, let me ask you this question. Is there some place that you feel like I cannot wait to get to? And I'm talking about a location. There's a place that you often think about, man, if I could only get to here. I cannot wait. Maybe one day you think in your mind, I can't wait to take the vacation to fill in the blank. Where is that for someone? I heard Israel. Where else? Did somebody say Detroit? No, that can't be. You're kidding. Detroit! Where? Someplace else. I probably misheard that. What else? Someplace else that somebody wants to go. Alaska. Europe. Italy. Oh, fitting, because we're going to be in Roman. Okay, there we go. For Bethany and I, we went to Hawaii way back, some 16 years ago on our honeymoon, and we've always thought, oh, we'll go back at 5 years, we'll go back at 10 years, and we had kids, and we just never went back. But we always kind of think about putting our toes back in the sand again and looking at the crystal blue water and just hanging out, with having that sweet time together in Hawaii. And I don't know what it is for you, but Paul, the Apostle Paul, he had this deep desire to go someplace. And I will just tell you, it wasn't because he wanted to stick his toes in the sand or admire architecture or take in history. It wasn't the reason why he wanted to head to, guess where we're going tonight? Rome. We're going to be in Romans. It's not why he wanted to go there at all. In fact, he has this noble reason for going. I want you to see it here in our text. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 13. And let's see why Paul wants to go to Rome, why he's so passionate about getting to Rome. Now, Paul's been all over the areas, but he really wants to be in Rome as passionately as Bethany and I want to go to Hawaii for a different reason. Look at verse 13. This is what he says. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often plan to come to you, but was hindered until now. There's people who are like, Paul, why don't you ever come to visit us, right? Why aren't you here? And he says, listen, I want you to know, I've always wanted to come to you. Rome is the place I want to be. Here's why, he says. Listen very carefully. That I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. Other places I've been, I've preached and I've taught. I want to do that in Rome. Listen, verse 14. I'm a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. He says, know this, as much as is in me, I want to come to you. It, more than Jeff and Bethany wanting to go to Hawaii, right? Or more than somebody wanting to go to Detroit, right? Paul's saying with a fervent passion, please don't be mistaken. I've been wanting to come to you, and I, as much as within me, I want to be with you. Paul wants the people in Rome to know that God's got a plan for you. Paul wants to go there and share firsthand. Here's what God did in my life. Oh man, I can't wait to share with the people in Rome that transition that God made in my life. From being a fervent, passionate Jew who honored the law to someone who now is freed in Christ. I want to be in Rome because I can't wait to share that with you. I want to come and share that with you. This is the phrase he says, I want to bear fruit among you. I want to bear fruit among you. What kind of fruit is he talking about? Probably like dates or figs, right? Stuff that they'd find in the Middle East, pomegranates, grapes. Paul's fruit stand, right? It's probably what he has in mind. Not at all. Actually, what he thinks about is, I can't wait to come and plant the seeds of the gospel of Jesus amongst you. And you know what? I want to do that. I really do. And I'm going to do that by preaching, he says. I'm going to preach the gospel to you. But listen, I want to be there when those seeds start to grow. And there becomes a church in Rome, and maybe even a bigger church than maybe what existed at the time. I want to be there all the way through every phase. I want to be a farmer that bears fruit among you, a spiritual farmer. I want to care for you. I want to tend to you. Paul's done this before, and he passionately wants to do it in Rome. Look at verse 14. He says, I'm a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. What does he mean, I'm a debtor? He's basically saying, I'm obligated to do this. And maybe what another way he would say that is, what else would I do? I've been given the job of, I've been given the right to preach the gospel. And I will just say, guess what? That's what you and I have been given, right? We're obligated to preach the gospel. Now, he's not saying I'm obligated like you're obligated to go to work, right? He's not saying, oh, I've got to do this. He's saying, I want to be with you in Rome because I'm in debt to the people of Rome to preach this gospel that God has given me to steward. I'm obligated to teach and to preach. In fact, there's a place in 1 Corinthians 9:16 where he says, I'm compelled to preach. And then he says, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Whew. Give me some of that passion, right? Give me some of that passion that I want to go someplace so much because I believe they need to hear the word of God. They need to hear the gospel. I choose that to go anywhere else. I want to be with you. I want to be with you. And woe is me if I do not preach this gospel that God has called me to steward well. And I would say he could say that to each and every one of us. Woe is us if we do not preach the gospel that has changed our lives. He says, so much as is in me, I want to be there with you. Here's the thing that I think is so cool about this text, is that he's almost saying, if I could just get there, right? I've been wanting to come. Now I feel like I can come. If I can just get there, I already know what God's going to do. If I could just get there and I could preach, God is going to do a fruitful work amongst you. I don't even doubt it. I'm obligated to preach. I'm obligated to go. He's called me to do this. When I show up in these other towns, God does some powerful work. Man, if we could just have that mindset of the gospel, all I have to do is show up and all I have to do is share Jesus and God will do something. He will do something. In fact, for a minute here, I have in my notes to do this, so we should do it. Let's just pray for that passion. I'll pray for us briefly. But I feel like as I'm studying this, I'm looking at this, like Paul's like, just get me there. And God, I know you'll do the work of the gospel. So let's do that real quick. Lord, I just pray. I pray for Refuge, but I pray for every church in this county. Lord, that you would stir up in us a passion for your word, a passion for the gospel, Lord, that comes through your word. Lord, that we would be people who are ready to go, ready to teach, ready to preach with this same confidence that we see here in Paul. Lord, that we believe that you will do a work and Paul's believing that he's going to bear much fruit when he comes to Rome because he's seen it before. And Lord, I pray we'd have that same heart and that same passion. Amen. Where does he get this energy and passion from? How does he actually know this? Look what he says in verse 16. This is where he gets his confidence from. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why are you not ashamed, Paul? Why no fear? Why are you so passionate to go into what would be a pagan culture and preach the gospel? Why? Listen to what he says. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. There's things we're all ashamed of, right? We get little blemishes on our face, and we're like, oh, I want to hide that away. I want to cover it up, right? Maybe you've been guilty of honking at someone as you're waiting in a red light, and all they were doing is waiting for the person to cross the crosswalk, and then you feel like, oh, I'm a jerk, right? Go, you can go, right? And there's times when we're just like, we want to retreat and pull back because we're ashamed of our behavior or wrong. We forget someone's name. Oh, I hate that. You've known them forever and you forget their name. There's all things that we're ashamed of. Paul's saying, listen, I have none of those feelings towards the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel at all. I'll go wherever, whenever God calls me, and I will preach the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am passionate for the gospel. I will do anything for the gospel. Why? Why no fear? Why no strikes? He says this, it is the power of God to salvation. That's interesting. It's the motor on the boat. It's generating motion forward. And Paul's saying, listen, the power of God to move in someone's life is the gospel. It's not only just it's the power of the gospel for God to fulfill what it took for us to come to know him, to be in relationship with him. It took his power working through the power of Christ, his perfect life, his perfect death on the cross, his resurrection, which took power, the power of God. It's that. But listen, it's something else too. Paul's saying, I go and preach at these cities and these places all over. And when I preach, I use words. And I'm preaching with words. And he's saying there's power in those words, not because he said, I didn't come convincingly or with tricky phrases or words. I just come and I preach the gospel. And he's saying in the preaching of those words, hitting the mind of the human, God is at work in that person, and he's causing a change of, listen, this is crazy. This is crazy. He's causing an eternal change inside that person by the power of the gospel. The words of the gospel going out into someone's heart and mind. The Spirit at work in that person's life changes someone's eternal destination. Think about that. The power of the gospel for salvation. How is God saving someone? First of all, by the power that he did through Christ on the cross, his resurrection. The resurrection proves who he is and that he's conquered death. But then it's you and I going out like Paul did and speaking and preaching. And the change, because of those words going on in that person's heart, mind, and soul by the power of the Holy Spirit that then changes their eternal destination. But listen, not only just the internal destination, but the fruit bearing that goes on in their life, the change of a life. That's what Paul's saying. He's saying, listen, I've walked around, I've gone all over, and I've preached the gospel. And let me just tell you from firsthand experience, it is the power of God to salvation. Paul, the apostle, writing this, which is why he says, I can't wait to get to you in Rome, because I think God's going to blow the doors off this thing. When I get there and preach and teach, it's not because of who I am, but because of the power of God unto salvation, which will come through the preaching and the teaching of the gospel. It's a powerful, powerful moment that Paul's writing about. But listen, the question then becomes, who's this for? What did we save to? What are we saved from? Look at verse 18. Romans 1:18. This is why Paul wants to get there quickly as well. It says this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Paul is saying, listen, I want to save you in Rome from the wrath of God, which is on all of us that don't believe, that haven't trusted in Christ. He's saying, I want to get there because I want to preach this amazing truth that God has done something so powerful amongst mankind through his son, Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection. Because he says, verse 18, I believe that too, that the wrath of God is upon us. That we are separated from the loving God, the creator of all things. We're separated. He says, I want to preach this thing that God has done amongst us. So the question then becomes, well, how do I get that? How do I receive this great news? Look what he says there at the second part, verse 16. Who gets this salvation, the salvation away from and into the family of God? Look at verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. Listen, this is so critical. For everyone who what? Help me, all the way in the back. Everyone who believes that there's an action step. The idea is not to everyone who goes to church or not everyone who does really good in their Bible study or not everyone who gives to the church or not. That's not what he's saying. These are not the requirements. Those could be fruit that come from a life of belief. But he's saying, first and foremost, the power of God for salvation is given to those who believe or put faith into, who trust in what God has done for them on the cross. Nothing plus that. He's saying, just believe. So I want to come to you, Rome. I want to preach and teach the gospel. I want to see what God does amongst you, because I think he's going to do something radical. And here's how that radical thing is going to happen. People are going to believe in the gospel. When they believe in the gospel, eternity will change for them. Their trajectory of where they're going, God's wrath no longer falls upon them. Instead, they receive eternal life. And we're going to see a radical life change in people. The things they used to do, they won't do anymore. They will repent and turn from those things, and God will use that mightily in people's lives. That's what we do, right? We model that. If we preach and teach the gospel, somebody gives their life to the Lord, maybe that's you tonight, there will be a radical change in your heart, mind, and soul towards the things that you once thought, man, I could keep doing whatever I want to do, right? God's going to do something by the power of the Holy Spirit. And listen, your eternal trajectory will change forever and ever and ever. And he's saying that's the power of the gospel. Not convincing speeches, not convincing words. Preach the gospel, teach the gospel. Here's where he closes, verse 17. For in it, in what? In the gospel. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. It's always going to be by faith. At the beginning, at the end, it's always going to be through faith, not through the law, not through works, not being a really good person. It's always going to be revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. What's happened here is that Paul is saying through the gospel, people's position before God has changed. Now, here's the thing. He talks about wrath in verse 18, right after this, that the wrath of God is upon them, the unrighteous. So how do then, the question is, how do we become righteous? Because I never feel righteous. I never feel like I'm good enough. So how do we become righteous? And he says, guess what? Yeah, that's the power of the gospel. Jeff, you will never be righteous until you hold on and believe to the gospel, in the gospel. Because that is the power of God to salvation. Salvation away from wrath and into a new position he calls righteousness. That when God sees you, he sees you differently once you believe in him, once you trust in him, once you put your faith in him. And it's all provided, listen, by a God who loves you deeply. Wow. Wow. There's a God who loves you deeply. He says, listen, Jeff, you will never be perfect. You won't even be good, right? But I will make you righteous, not by your own works, but by or standing, but by what I do for you on the cross. And it says this is the key. And we've been studying through John, and he says, listen, it's for those who believe. It's for those who believe. If that's you tonight, if you're one of those people who've said, listen, I put this off and put this off, maybe tonight is the night you would say, I want that. I want the life change. I want the eternal destination to change of where I'm going. I want the wrath of God off of me. And I just want to sit in the presence of my living Savior. It's the power of God until salvation. That's the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation. Amen? I'm going to have Andrew and Corey come back up. I'm going to pray for us tonight. And tonight, as you're here, and maybe you need prayer for anything, there's pastors around. I'll be up here. And maybe tonight's the night you say, hey, I'm going to take a step of faith, and I'm going to believe and trust in his Christ's life, his death on the cross, and his resurrection. And I'm going to put my trust and faith in that and my hope in that alone. God, you are so good and you're gracious. Lord, as we read tonight, you provided a way. You provided a way for us to enter into your presence because for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's a God who loves you tonight. And there's a people actually here tonight gathered around who loves you deeply as well. And tonight, maybe is the night that you would say, listen, that's me. I want to step forward and I want to pronounce my faith and trust in Jesus alone. For he is the power of God unto salvation. I want that. God, thanks for being in this place tonight. Thanks for using music as a way to reach our hearts and our souls. Lord, thanks for using your word by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey, thank you for being with us here tonight. If you need prayer for something, maybe tonight you said, yeah, I need to walk closer with my Lord. Or maybe you thought, hey, I want to be more passionate. I want to pray for more passion to share the gospel at my work, with my family. Maybe that's you tonight. As Bill always says, you could always pray for the person that brought you or the person that came with you. Or you can come and pray with one of us. We'd be happy to do that. So Lord, bless you and have a blessed night tonight.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.